Who is at your right hand? Who is at your right hand right now? Would you turn in the book of Ezekiel to chapter 3, and if you did not bring your Bibles, if there's a chance that somebody's here who didn't bring your Bible, would you turn the pew Bibles to page 1028? 1028. And when I ask you who is at your right hand, I don't know what you thought. Some of you even looked to the right to see who that party was. Some of you probably thought, well, Jesus is at my right hand. But folks, Jesus is not at your right hand. The only hand that Jesus is at the right side of is God in heaven. In heaven, where there is seated God, at his right hand is Jesus. But at my right hand is not Jesus. You found Zechariah chapter 3. I said Ezekiel, I think, but it's Zechariah. Zechariah. Is there a Zechariah in the house? Pew Bibles, 1028 on that page. Zechariah chapter 3. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Who's at your right hand? Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men, wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. While the Jews were rebuilding the temple, their adversaries tried desperately to halt the work. They did not want this to come about, and we read about that in Ezra chapter 5. This vision that Zechariah has been given is a strong encouragement to both he and his followers that God, after plucking them as a brand from a burning fire, will then not only give them, but continue with them so that they may prosper and that they may do what God has told them to do. Even though there would be interruptions, the work would be finished. Easy transition. Apply to a greater future deliverance and restoration. Figures type of Christ, the great high priest, typified by Joshua, who was the high priest. The chief cornerstone of the church. The all-seeing eye of God will guard the church. And so today, with the community church, as a body. And so today, with you as an individual, today's sermon is one of the most important messages that you can ever hear. Who is at your right hand? It is Satan, to try to keep you from building. We call it the wall, we call it the church, we call it the life, we call it whatever you're engaged in building, the spiritual temple. He is trying to keep you from doing this. Now, people have known this for hundreds and hundreds of years, but done very little about it. And if you'll turn to hymn 1 in the songbook, which you sang earlier today, would you do that? People have sung this hymn for hundreds and hundreds of years, written by Martin Luther. And for years and years, I have sung the hymn. But it wasn't until like this morning that I realized so many of these stanzas had to do with the fight they were in. Just look at it. In verse 2, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. If you have been in attendance any great length of time, you will find in your mind sermons on every one of these phrases. In our own strength confide, then we would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who this is. Who is it? It's Jesus. He's Lord of the Sabbath is his name. From age to age the same. And he must win the battle, the victory that we've talked about. And look at verse 3. For people who say, oh, there are no demons in this world, have sung this song with great zest. They've stood in cathedrals and small churches that have dotted the countryside and from big to small congregations, and they have sung, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us. I mean, it says it right there, that we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. If you're following with me, would you read the next sentence with me? One little word shall fail him. One little word. What is that little word? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. And we're going to see this in Zechariah in a few minutes. In Zechariah 3:1, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The word standing before is a judicial word, standing before the court, standing before the judge, standing before the judgment seat of Christ even. We are told we're going to have to stand before God. In Revelation 20:12, we stood before God and the books were opened and we were judged out of those books. Here, Zechariah is standing before God, but Satan is at his right hand. The enemy is at his right hand. Your enemy is not in San Lucas and San Ardo and San Jose. Your enemy is right at your right hand. Though barred from activity with our praying this morning, though if you open, you may let him have some activity. The scripture tells me in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You've got the power to resist him. Now, Satan came and accused Zechariah. In the vision, he accused Joshua. He accused him. People, the accusation was true. But when Satan appeared before God and accused Job, the accusation was false. Job was righteous. Job was just. Job did not sin with his mouth. And so Satan came to God and accused Job. It was absolutely false. But when Satan came to accuse Joshua, it was absolutely true. What was true about it? It was true because the prophet Haggai had reproved him earlier, Satan had a real charge against him because he, Joshua, the high priest, with the king, Zerubbabel, had come together and they had not done what God told them to do in the rebuilding. They had faltered. And so Satan stands right now at the right hand. Who is supposed to be at the right hand if it's not a protector? The protector is the right hand. In the case of husband and wife, the husband extends his right hand to hold his wife, and she is there at the right hand there because they are together. But in this case, at the right hand, there is Satan, where the protector should be to save. Joshua was head with Zerubbabel, and they had returned as leaders from the exile captivity. In the rebuilding of the temple, they had not done what they should do in rebuilding the community. The community had not restarted the work. The same way with the community of the church. The Lord has said, let's do some building with our lives. Let's start building. But we're not all building. The idea which lays at the basis of this vision is simply this. Satan is responsible for all the ills that the community has suffered. In the day of Joshua, Satan was responsible for all the ills. Today, Satan is responsible for all the ills that come against you and your family and the church. Now, Satan tried to induce God to cast off his people because of sin. Isn't it interesting? Satan tempts us to sin, and then he accuses us for sinning. Ah, he's tricky. He's so clever. He's a trickster. He tempts you to sin, and then he comes with condemnation against your sinning, accusing you. And he thinks that the offering that you give God will not be acceptable. God will not have pity upon you. Little does he know, the conflict between righteousness and mercy is decided by silencing the accuser. Zechariah chapter 3, the accuser is silenced. Put your hand over your mouth, Satan. You can't speak an accusation against my people. And in verse 2, the words that you have heard in this church very often as we go through deliverance for people. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord hath chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? The same phraseology is used in the New Testament. And if you will please turn to Jude, the little book of Jude, and you'll find that right before the last book in the New Testament, which is Revelation. In Jude, which only has one chapter, verse 9. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Michael the archangel, when contending against the body of Moses, did not bring a railing accusation, but he just said, the Lord rebuke you. He did not say, I rebuke you in my name, but the Lord rebuke you. And it's very important because here we find the Lord rebuke you. But now it is the Lord that said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Now there's no conflict here because in the Psalms we have David saying, about my Lord, and he also refers to Jesus. And it is like in Psalm 110, the Lord speaks of another Lord. Not that he, the Lord who speaks, cannot rebuke, but that the unity of the nature is such that when one rebukes, the other one also rebukes. And so he says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. For he who sees the Son sees the Father. John 14, 9. The angel of the Lord here is the Messiah. Joshua is the high priest. And the subject of dispute that we read about in Jude was the body of Moses. Not the natural body, because the natural body had been dead 1,000 years. So what is he referring to about the body? He is talking about the body of laws. The body of laws that was represented by Moses, given to the Jews by Moses. And the people had broken the law, which was the body of Moses. And so the Lord Jesus rebuked you when Satan was fussing over the body of Moses. So I don't think he's talking about a real body, which was dead 1,000 years, or a hidden body somewhere in the hills. He is talking about the body of law represented by the body of Moses. The scripture takes the same parallel. It talks about the church being the body of Christ. In Romans 7:24, it talks about the body of sin. So the Lord Jesus rebuked you when Satan was after the body of Moses. It was to restore the Jewish body, that is the body of Moses. Now, in the book of Revelation, we find that Moses, who is like God, and his angels fought against Satan and his angels. So we read, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Satan is right there at the right hand of Joshua, and he is told he is rebuked. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? You take a small stick and you pluck it out of the fire. It's burning at one end. But if you pull it from the fire, then you save it from its utter destruction. And so this brand, Joshua, who was suffering punishment, yet plucked out, chosen by God to restore Jerusalem. Now Joshua was acquitted, not because Joshua was innocent, not because Satan was coming against him with false accusation, but because of the free love of God for his people and for Joshua as the representative of us today. The rebuke of God was with power. The brand was plucked. God chose him to be head of the community. God did the choosing, just chose him. Now he says you will have continuous access to go into the presence of God, to walk among the servants of the angel of God. And to that end, in verse 4, his filthy garments were taken away from him, and he had placed upon him rich apparel. A better translation would be clean garments. Righteousness is as a filthy rag in God's sight. He looks upon the inside. And now Joshua has been given a brand new garment. And in verse 7, he says, if you walk in my ways, if you keep my charge, then you shall judge my house and shall also keep my courts, and I will give you places to walk among those that stand by. The young prophet clearly understood that he now was being placed into a position of ministering to the people, and that there would come a time when he would actually, as you will actually, walk among the angels, the seraphim, right there after the resurrection of the dead. For the New Testament speaks of it like this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there walking with, communing with all of the angelic hosts. Further, the young prophet realized now he was going to be placed in a position, keeping charge, judging the house, keeping the courts, and then given the place. He knew as he did this, he then had the responsibility of lifting his people into the presence of God. This is what the pastor does. This is what the person who's directing the worship does. The responsibility of lifting a person into the very presence of God. To do this requires personal confession of sin, cleansing of sin, and a willingness to take upon oneself the burden of those for whom they are ministering. not for you as family heads, for you as even as not a family head, you have the same responsibility. To assume this task is going to mean a constant warfare with he who is at your right hand. And he will continually come against you, but you have the little word, Jesus. And when you speak Jesus, it speaks defeat to Satan. It speaks defeat. Now Joshua was placed in a very special place. When he was placed in that very special place as over the house, it probably caused a lot of concern among the other priests. You know, he was not the only priest. When Joshua was taken into captivity with other people, they were taken into a foreign country, a foreign land, and they how could they, Scripture says, sing because their temple was so far away. But there were other priests that were left in Jerusalem. Now, they probably said, well, now, as the temple is restored, I should be the person in charge. After all, I have stayed with the temple all these years. Joshua, who is a newcomer, shouldn't have this given to him. But yet God said he is the man. He is the man. And he was the branch. Now, there's two parallels here. The branch is all of a sudden given in verse 8 a name. I will bring forth my servant, the branch. He's given a proper name. Not only a branch that will fill you with the richness of the divine fruit, but it is also in verse 9 a stone that I have laid, a stone that will break all of the work of the enemy. Repeat, for you today, God's Son is a branch that fills you with all of that which is necessary to produce your fruit. But not only is it the branch that produces the fruit, he is the stone that breaks the work of the enemy, the name Jesus, who comes against your accuser at your right hand. Now, it is something in the future, it is something right now, because he says in the next verse, I therefore, behold the stone, I have laid before Joshua upon one stone, and it shall be engraved on it 7 eyes. I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. I will engrave the 7 eyes. Now, maybe it's an allusion to the 7 counselors that had to always be in the presence of an Asiatic king. Maybe it has reference to do with the 7 spirits. Of God, which you read about in the book of Revelation. But it says here, I will engrave eyes upon the stone. Maybe it's the all-seeing eye of God, his loving care. Maybe it's like the eyes on the wheels in Ezekiel's vision. John says, I beheld the Lamb of God, and he had 7 eyes, which represented 7 spirits. Behold, the stone I've laid before Joshua, I will engrave upon it 7 eyes. 7 eyes. Some translations have 7 facets. It is that God comprehends and God knows it all. The point is that God's caring for it. Now, God is caring for you. Even though your accuser is at your right hand, he is caring for you because he loves you. And he says, because of that, I have laid the stone. Now listen, the stone is of earth. The stone is of virgin birth. And it's the workmanship of God. And it signifies the birth in virgin soil, in virgin earth. But that which was framed very skillfully by the hand of God, who has become our Savior. And he says further, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. We sing that chorus, this is the day the Lord hath made. And we think about it being this day, and every day is a different day. There's nothing wrong with that. But actually, in one day, God will remove the iniquity from the land. Was that day upon the cross that Jesus died? One day, he says, I will remove the iniquity of that land. This is the day. That was the day Beautiful are the gifts and graces which Christ received as the man. Now it says, I will give a stone, I will engrave upon that stone, and in one day I will remove the iniquity of the land. When Jesus died on the cross, his body was engraved with the mark of the whip, the brutal blows of the soldiers, the mark from the crown of thorns, and from the point of the spear with the nails. His body, that stone, was engraved upon it. And in one day, when that happened, the iniquities will be removed from all of the land. Now, the high priest could all go into the Holy of Holies only once a year. But every year, the high priest had to come back and offer blood for the atonement of the sins of the people. He would do this once a year, and the next year he would do it again, and the next year he would do it again, and the next year he would do it again. But in one day, God removed the iniquities forever. And no longer did the priest have to go in once a year with the blood sacrifice for themselves and for the people. Nor did Jesus have to be crucified again and again go through what he went through. No, one time, one event, in one day, I will remove it. And so Christ, by his passion, takes away the iniquities and brings the peace in the ages to come and even now for all the world. And that's important. For the wise men who came to see Jesus when he was in the house after he was several years of age, they came from a different land representing a different people coming into the very presence of God. And so today, from people in all languages, in all lands, from all walks of life, they come in to Jesus. But as they come to worship Jesus, there is at their right hand Satan. Now people, Satan is not depicted as somebody who is in the foreground and in the front, someone who is an open enemy to the high priest or to you, because you are a priest, rightfully so, according to the word of God. If you are a believer, you are your own high priest. Satan doesn't come as an open enemy of the high priest, but he stands at his right hand. He doesn't occupy the position of a confessed foe. No, instead, a true friend. I'm at your right hand. I'm at your right hand. And we are deceived. And so we grab his hand, and together we're going to do it. And before we realize it, we have been drugged into something that is beyond our ability to get out on our own, save the name of Jesus. Now, Satan can use force like the crucifixion, for example, and Satan can use force like great persecutions in the past, for example, in the church, but this has not been his general characteristic. This has not been his characteristic of his resistance. It has been secret. That's more powerful. It's been secret. And he has tried to undermine rather than to cast down. He wants to weaken from the inside you, the church, our country. Instead of assailing from the outside, he works on the inside. And this has been the history of the world. This has been the history of the church. This has been the history of mankind. Every individual is an outward manifestation of Zechariah chapter 3. Satan standing at the right hand of all the believers, you accusing you, and yet we can rebuke in the name of Jesus and send him away. So who is at your right hand right now? Satan's at your right hand, but it is who is at the right hand of God that's important, and that's Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we have our victory. We have it because in one day, in just one day, Jesus gave.